Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of April 5th, 2020. I am reading this on Wednesday, April 8th, and I'll start with the first story that's on the Standard Times website. It's a list of articles related to the coronavirus. Coronavirus San Angelo. Positive cases hold at 25. 624 tests return as negative. Cases of coronavirus in San Angelo. COVID-19 tests done in San Angelo as of 2 p.m. April 8th. 791 total. 142 pending, 624 negative, 25 positive. This is inclusive of the released count. 3 released. A released patient is one who has been declared free of quarantine self-isolation. Lowe's will close all stores for Easter Sunday, April 7th. Lowe's companies announced Tuesday all stores and distribution centers in the United States and Canada will be closed Easter Sunday, April 12th. Our ability to support communities with essential goods and services during this pandemic is thanks to our outstanding dedicated associates, said Marvin Ellison, Lowe's president and CEO. We want to provide our teams with a much-deserved day off to spend Easter Sunday with their families and loved ones and recharge. We will take steps to ensure that no hourly associate loses scheduled hours or has a reduction in pay as a result of closing on Sunday. I want to personally thank our 300,000 associates who have helped families stay safely at home. Their actions are nothing short of heroic. Simply Texas Blues Festival postponed, April 7th. The Simply Texas Blues Festival usually happens in May, but has been postponed due to the coronavirus outbreak, according to a Facebook post by the festival. The festival is looking for input from the community on when it should reschedule it. Officials are looking at dates in August or September. We know if we move it to later in the summer, it's going to be hot, but the main focus of what we do is providing scholarships for students, the post stated. We are not going to let them down. Texas state parks temporarily close, April 7th. At the direction of Governor Greg Abbott, Texas state parks will be closed, effective at the close of business Tuesday, April 7th, to maintain the safest environment for visitors, volunteers, and staff. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Department will monitor public health recommendations and announce when a definite reopening date has been determined. Given the myriad of changes and heightened risks of operating the parks at this time, we believe that this is the best course of action right now in order to meet the health and safety expectations the state has set out for the citizens of Texas, said Carter Smith, executive director of TPWD. All state parks will remain temporarily closed until public health and safety conditions improve. During the closure, staff will continue to steward and care for the parks to ensure they can be immediately reopened to visitors at the appropriate time. Outdoor recreational opportunities such as hunting, fishing, biking, jogging, walking, hiking, wildlife viewing, and the like are essential activities for Texas residents. Despite the implementation of increasingly restrictive visitor use measures to help minimize the transmission of COVID-19 at parks, TPWD has reached a point where public safety considerations of those in the parks and in the surrounding communities must take precedence over continued operations. Cristoval ISD to continue home-based learning for the rest of the school year, April 7th. Cristoval ISD announced it will continue home-based instruction and good services through the rest of the school year ending May 28, 2020. Superintendent David Walker sent a letter to parents stating they will continue this learning through the school year and should prepare for the case that the pandemic will run through the fall semester. SAISD approves extension to superintendent's purchasing authority, April 6th. The San Angelo ISD School Board met via video conference Monday afternoon and quickly extended a resolution that allowed Superintendent Carl Detloff to make purchases over $25,000. This temporary purchasing authority was first given on March 30th. "These are not non-budgeted items," said George McFarland, Assistant Superintendent of Business and Support Services. In less than 10 minutes from the meeting's start, the board unanimously approved the resolution 7-0. The resolution will be back up for a vote at 5:45 p.m. April 13th. Tom Green County officials recommend wearing cloth masks, April 6th. The Tom Green County Local Health Authority is recommending that all citizens wear cloth face coverings while out in public settings, such as grocery stores, pharmacies, and workplaces, to help prevent the transmission of COVID-19. The recommendation was issued on April 5th. People can learn how to make masks and wear them at cdc.gov/coronavirus. The cloth face coverings recommended by the CDC are not surgical masks or N95 respirators. San Angelo police change when to report crashes, April 6th. To reduce the risk of exposure to officers and people involved in vehicle crashes, the police department has issued a change on what to do during a crash. If a vehicle crash or collision does not involve injuries or damage of property, people should exchange driver's license information, license plate and vehicle information, and insurance information. People should also fill out the driver's crash report, TxDOT form CR-2, which can be found at sanangelopolice.org. This form requires Adobe Acrobat Reader and is compatible with Internet Explorer and some versions of Firefox and Safari. It will not work with Google Chrome or Microsoft Edge. Coronavirus in San Angelo, first patients out of hospital and isolation. One new case, community spread. The latest COVID-19 update from the city has good news and bad news. The good news is that three patients have been released, one from the hospital and two from quarantine self-isolation. Another positive is that soon one patient will be removed from San Angelo's case count and added to their county of residence, now that treatment has ended. The bad news is another person has tested positive, and the patient is an older teen male with no recent travel or known connection to a COVID-19 patient, making him the case of community spread. As of April 7th, no coronavirus deaths have been reported in Tom Green County by Texas Department of State Health Services or the City of San Angelo's Public Relations Department, which distributes updates daily. Irion County listed as likely to be hit the hardest in Texas by COVID-19 recession, by Elena Edgen. Irion County has been listed as one county that will likely be hit the hardest by the coronavirus recession, according to a study by 24/7 Wall Street. The county seat of Irion County is Mertzon, which is about 30 miles southwest of San Angelo. Irion County ranked number 5 on a list of 30 counties and parishes across the U.S. expected to be most impacted. The county received its rank due to a 47.5 workforce in high-risk industries, which includes oil and hospitality services, according to the study. Like Midland, the economy of Irion County heavily relies on oil extraction, the study stated. Other factors included a 2.5% unemployment rate as of January and a population of 1,524, according to the study. Irion County received the highest Texas spot on the list. Gilpin County in Colorado was number 1. ASU provides relief housing to medical staff conducting COVID-19 tests by Rosanna Aguilera. Angelo State University is providing relief housing to medical staff conducting COVID-19 tests to the public. With a 20-person capacity, Carr Hall began housing medical personnel Sunday, April 5th. No charges or fees will be issued to any medical staff using the relief housing. The arrangement was made based on recommendations from the American Academy of Family Physicians that relief housing be provided for medical staff who do not want to risk possibly exposing their families to the virus by going home, according to a news release. Any medical staff who stay at Carr Hall Relief Housing will go through full decontamination each day before they get on campus. Social distancing guidelines will also be practiced in the hall. We are so grateful to Dr. Brian May and ASU for making this possible so our staff can continue to care for our patients and also feel secure that their families are safe, Shannon President and CEO Shane Plimmel said. We live in an incredibly supportive community. On behalf of Shannon, I want to express my gratitude to every individual and group who has reached out to see how they can help during this time. ASU's residence halls are under the scope of Dr. Javier Flores, Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management. Carr Hall was the best choice for relief because it is empty of students and has ample parking adjacent to the building, according to the release. Angelo State is committed to helping the community and keeping our medical providers healthy as they help us fight the COVID-19 pandemic, Flores said. Both Shannon and community hospitals have been strong partners and supporters of Angelo State, and now it's our turn to help them. Dr. Javier Flores can be reached at javier.flores@angelo.edu. Coronavirus in San Angelo. What happens when a positive patient visits a public place? By Rosanna Aguilera. As the number of local coronavirus cases transmitted by community spread is likely to creep up, officials are reluctant to release details about where those patients have visited. Patient details released across Texas and the U.S. vary widely from one location to the next. Some officials provide the locations the patient has visited, exact age, and how the disease was contracted, while others limit information publicly released to age range and/or gender. Some places are even more strict with details, limiting info to only the number of tests conducted and the results, with no patient details. Mayor Brenda Guntner has said most details didn't need to be released publicly, as doing so would not decrease the chances of others catching the virus and could reveal patients' identities, which are protected by federal law. She has maintained that the local health department and city leadership are doing everything necessary to protect the public. The city and public health officials are doing the appropriate thing. They're making sure that patients are quarantined and that people who have been in contact with those patients are also being isolated, she said during a past video address to residents. But what about the locations the patient has visited around town? How are local officials making sure people who also visit those places are safe? The health department's main goal is to investigate positive cases to help slow down the spread of COVID-19 in the community, according to Sandra Villarreal, Director of Health Services for the city. We will make attempts to contact people, hotels, motels where they may have visited, or apartments where they live, or if they attended church service or a particular gathering, and let them know someone tested positive and listed them as a contact, Villarreal explained. The department's responsibility is to find contacts, study the demographics, and come up with mitigation strategies that will protect the public. Because of the enormity of the situation and the resultant community spread being seen all across our state and nation, the total declaration of disaster and the subsequent orders require citizens to take responsibility of their own actions to protect themselves and others, the Adrial said. What about public locations? After health officials notify a business or property that a positive patient may have visited the site, the onus to disinfect the location is on the site's management. Staffing levels do not allow for constant monitoring or verification of cleanliness of each establishment, according to Villarreal. It ultimately is the responsibility of the owners and managers of those facilities, Villarreal said. If the public believes this is not getting done or has a complaint, then we will address it. What if people aren't following the rules about disinfecting? If there is a complaint or lack of response with regards to an establishment not disinfecting, the city will address the issue by sending someone, whether that be a health inspector, a code officer, or a police officer, Villarreal said. Villarreal said San Angelo is not going to be immune to community spread. It is inevitable, and our numbers are going to continue to rise, she said. Protective measures people are being called to do include social distancing, staying home, working from home, and wiping common surfaces. How to report violations. Contact the Tom Green County Environmental Health Division by calling 325-658-1038 or 325-657-1024. Cornyn announces $389,000 in COVID-19 assistance for San Angelo. Staff report. The city of San Angelo was awarded a federal grant of $388,646 to help recover from the economic fallout of the novel coronavirus outbreak, U.S. Senator John Cornyn announced today. The funding, which was appropriated by Congress last month, comes through the Department of Housing and Urban Development as part of the CARES Act. The coronavirus outbreak has hit Texans hard, and as much as we can protect each other from its effects, we must, said Senator Cornyn. I'm grateful to the Trump administration for making economic recovery in San Angelo a high priority during the outbreak. These grants may be used for a range of eligible activities that prevent and respond to the spread of COVID-19, such as public testing, providing equipment, delivering meals, training healthcare workers, constructing a facility for testing, diagnosis or treatment, improving or repurposing an existing facility for the use of housing or treating patients, and providing grants or loans to support businesses in creating jobs and manufacturing medical supplies necessary to respond to the disease. San Angelo ISD hires communications and community directors by Elena Edgen. San Angelo ISD hired directors for the Communications and Community Relations Department Tuesday, according to a news release from the school district. Starting in July, Whitney Watson Wood will take over as the Executive Director of Communication. Her prior experience includes being a civil attorney, a marketing and public relations professional, and an advertising account manager for HEB. Wood has a Juris Doctorate from St. Mary's University School of Law and a Bachelor of Science from the University of Texas. Molly Johnson started as the Director of Community Relations in March. A 2008 graduate of Central High School with a Bachelor of Science from Texas A&M University, Johnson brings over 7 years' experience in branding, marketing strategy, and project management. Johnson recently served as the marketing manager for Time Clock Plus. City looks at placing those quarantined for COVID-19 in San Angelo hotels by John Tufts. City manager Daniel Valenzuela received authorization Wednesday to negotiate contracts between the city and hotels within San Angelo to house individuals quarantined for the coronavirus. The decision to allow Valenzuela to negotiate such contracts came April 1st after city council members voted unanimously to extend San Angelo's declaration of a local disaster. City Attorney Teresa James told council Wednesday this would provide shelter to residents who have been tested for COVID-19 and told to quarantine at home, but who feel doing so could endanger family members. Officials with the city said the decision could also help protect the families of first responders. "We know that the number of people that will test positive for COVID-19 will increase," officials with the city said. "Many of those people are concerned about going home to their families. We also have first responders that are concerned about going home to their families. This action was preemptive of what we see as a future need," an official said. There is no approximate estimate on how many people might be quarantined in the coming weeks and months inside San Angelo's hotels, while the city is still in the process of finding hotels that will agree to house those quarantined. Should Valenzuela approve contracts with any San Angelo hotels, city officials said they will seek reimbursement as a cost related to the disaster declared by Texas Governor Abbott and the Texas Health Commissioner. Residents under quarantine would have to remain in the hotel for as long as they are awaiting results or showing symptoms, according to officials. Residents quarantined due to a positive COVID-19 test would remain quarantined for the amount of time determined by a doctor. Gardens are a sensible response to uncertain times, by Allison Watkins, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times. The pandemic has greatly increased interest in home gardening for two reasons, I think. First, social gathering has significantly reduced the types of activities many are used to, and gardening and landscaping are great pursuits to stay active and get fresh air while spending more time at home. Also, with the stockpiling of food and supplies that has been happening and the limited accessibility of grocery stores, many are thinking for ways to grow their own food and reduce the number of grocery store visits needed. There are many ways to incorporate edible plants into the landscape, so even if you don't have a ton of space for a huge garden, it's not only possible, but very beneficial and highly recommended to plant some vegetables, herbs, and fruit in the yard. First, consider vegetables and herbs that can be planted now and will provide a pretty quick harvest. Also, take this opportunity to realize the advantage it is to have permanent, edible plants in the yard, not just out of necessity, but also for enjoyment, even when grocery stores become easily accessible again. Now is a great time to plant warm season vegetables. Texas A&M promotes the Earthkind method of gardening to reduce the need of fertilizers, pesticides, and water. Earthkind helps promote personal health and safety, as well as the conservation of natural resources. In my opinion, some of the spring and summer vegetables that can be best grown in an Earthkind manner include okra, peppers, sweet potato, Magda variety squash, and heat-tolerant tomatoes. These can all take the heat of West Texas and grow well without excessive inputs. Magda squash is a specific variety with a nice nutty flavor that is less prone to squash bug infestation, but not immune. Five more Earthkind suited vegetables that are for the cool season and should be planted later in the fall or winter include carrots, Swiss chard, onions, spinach, and asparagus. The herbs I recommend are the best Earthkind options, and the most usable for cooking include sage, rosemary, dwarf varieties are recommended for smaller spaces, basil, chives, oregano, thyme, and mint. Parsley, garlic, and cilantro are great choices for fall and cool season planting. Tim Hartman, Texas A&M Extension Program Specialist, Earthkind recently appeared on a Facebook Live video broadcast from the page Aggie Horticulture to provide tips on growing fruit at home. While these options won't produce immediately and are more of an investment for the future, he said some of the easiest to grow fruits for Texas include Asian permisan, fig, blackberry, pear. Be sure to choose the right variety. Contact your local county extension office. And grape, juice or jelly varieties like champagne. I would also add that pomegranate is a good, easy-to-grow fruit crop for West Texas. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu. Two Angelo State students arrested after fight sparked by COVID-19 poster by Elena Edgen. Two Angelo State University students have been arrested for fighting after coronavirus posters were placed on an Asian student's dorm. About 1:30 p.m. Friday, March 27th, ASU police responded to a call about a fight at Texan Hall that possibly involved a shotgun. Officers found two men and two witnesses, according to the police report. The student who reported the incident told officers his roommate got in a fight with his friend, records state. Officers went to one of the dorm rooms and discovered part of the door frame on the floor. Shane Allen Stumpf, a 20-year-old student from Comfort, stood in the dorm room with a bleeding nose and another witness. Stumpf and the caller had placed some posters about coronavirus testing on the door of an Asian student's dorm, and that student became angry, Stumpf told officers. Jian Kim, 23, of San Angelo, went to Stump's room and a fight began. At one point, Kim kicked the door in and Stumpf pointed a 12-gauge shotgun at him, demanding him to get out, records state. Officers searched Stumpf and his room, where they located the shotgun, a pistol, and two pocket knives. They also found a drawing of someone dressed as a member of the Ku Klux Klan standing in front of a Confederate flag and a burning cross. The drawing had text stating, "I go for Jim Crow," according to the report. The other man involved in the fight, Kim, was found in the Texan Hall lobby with injuries to his face and hand. Both men were booked into the Tom Green County Jail and released later Friday. Officers arrested Stumpf on suspicion of assault causes injury. He was released on a $1,000 bond, according to online jail records. Kim was arrested on suspicion of assault causes injury and criminal trespass. He was released on a $1,500 bond. Our next article from the San Angelo Standard-Times this week is a feature piece. You may remember that we read an article on the history of St. John's Hospital a couple of weeks ago. Now here's an article they've written about Shannon Hospital. Shannon has grown with San Angelo since 1932, by Matthew McDaniel. Editor's note. This week, the San Angelo Standard-Times continues the hospital history of West Texas with a look at the origins of Shannon Medical Center. Next week, we will look at the history of San Angelo Community Hospital. It was supposed to be known as Memorial Hospital, but that name never stuck. Everyone just called it Shannon, and since 1932, it's been the name most closely associated with healthcare in San Angelo. According to information from the Tom Green County Historical Society, the story of this institution begins November 15, 1923, when Dr. H.P. Rush, who came to San Angelo from De Leon, and Dr. W.F. Chambers of Bront established a 15-bed facility downtown. The facility was inside a home on the southwest corner of South Magdalene Street and West Harris Avenue, formerly occupied by John and Edith Findlater, and it was called San Angelo Physicians and Surgeons Hospital. Dr. Rush, who went on to help found the Clinic Hospital on Beauregard Avenue, and his partner sold their hospital to the Baptist Church, which then initiated a building project for a four-story brick building at Harris Avenue and Magdalen, but only the lower two floors were completed for use. This hospital closed after 4 years due to the Great Depression, and that is where the Shannon Trust enters the story. John Moore Shannon, born in Louisiana, met his wife Margaret on a business trip abroad, and after marrying in Scotland, the couple settled in West Texas, where he worked at a variety of businesses, eventually establishing himself as one of the leading men of his day. After carving out a sizable ranch empire in Crockett County, the Shannons moved to San Angelo in 1893, and he monitored his ranching, insurance, and banking interests from here. J.M. Shannon died May 28, 1928, and Mrs. Shannon died December 13, 1931. In accordance with their wishes, the bulk of their estate was left in trust to establish the Shannon West Texas Memorial Hospital. The trust purchased the hospital and equipment in early 1932, and the hospital was officially renamed in April of that year. The trustees authorized the completion of the top floors, and a school of nursing was established. A few years later, oil and gas were discovered on the Shannon land, creating a tide of income for the estate, estimated at nearly $80 million. Between the trust's creation and the end of World War II, San Angelo saw a couple of significant population booms, and major projects were initiated in 1945, 1957, and 1963, resulting in a 180-bed facility. The School of Nursing was closed in 1968, and by that time, 570 registered nurses had been graduated. The next giant step for Shannon came in the late 1970s as a gleaming new hospital was constructed across Harris Avenue as trustees prepared to phase out the original buildings for the most modern facility possible. Both buildings were standing by the end of 1979, but it was not until December of 1981 that patients were moved across the street to the new hospital. A large crowd was on hand to witness the demolition of the original Memorial Hospital, which came down August 8, 1982. Here's a look at notable events in Shannon history. 1932, Shannon West Texas Memorial Hospital and the Shannon School of Nursing are established. 1949, Shannon leads the fight against the deadly polio epidemic in San Angelo, when the city had the highest incidence of polio per capita in the nation. 1968, an intensive care unit is created to provide care and monitoring of grouped ventilated patients in a single location. 1971, the hospital's first life support systems are used. 1973, a ventilator to sustain breathing in premature and critically ill newborns is introduced at the hospital, along with a neonatal intensive care unit is developed for specialized newborn care. 1979, the hospital's first computerized axial tomography, or CAT scan, goes into use. Life support systems to assist and sustain high-pressure oxygen breathing come into use at Shannon. 1981, about 115 patients are moved across the street on a cold December night to the hospital's new location. The new hospital is an upgrade from the old hospital's 174 beds to 209 beds and private rooms. 1982, the old hospital is demolished and turned into a parking lot. 1984, a hospital-based home health service is developed to provide in-home care. 1985, a cardiac catheterization lab dedicated solely for heart procedures is established. 1986, a skilled nursing facility is developed to provide extended care services for patients needing long-term care, and a cardiac rehabilitation department is created to manage patient cardiac therapy. 1988, the hospital's first dedicated oncology unit and outpatient chemotherapy treatment room is established to provide specialized care and treatment for cancer patients. 1989, the hospital's first open-heart surgery is performed. 1991, an inpatient and outpatient imaging center equipped with a CT scanner is developed. 1994, AirMed 1, a hospital-based air ambulance, begins operating from Shannon, and the Women's and Children's Hospital is created. 1996, Shannon Regional Heart Center opens. St. John's Hospital is incorporated into the Shannon Health System. 1998, a pulmonary rehabilitation program offers physical and emotional rehab for patients with lung disease. 2000, Shannon is designated a LEED Level 3 trauma center for Service Area K, which includes Tom Green County and 14 surrounding counties in the Concho Valley. 2003, Children's Miracle Network chapter is established at the hospital. 2016, Shannon begins a $74 million tower expansion. Here's an article that was published in the San Angelo Standard-Times Wednesday, April 8th. The Other Corona. One in five Texans drink alcohol while working at home amid pandemic, study says. Millions of American workers were forced to work from home due to the coronavirus pandemic. An office at home comes with its own set of rules, with some people sleeping in later or working in their pajamas. According to a recent study, without a boss looking over their shoulder, more than one in five is drinking during work hours. What is everyone drinking? What Texans admit to drinking alcohol during work hours while on lockdown? Alcohol.org, a leading provider of treatment resources, completed a survey of 3,000 employees in the United States about their use of alcohol while working at home. Across the country, more than one-third of respondents said they believe they will drink more alcohol than usual during this self-isolation. In Texas, 22% of workers admitted to drinking alcohol during work hours while on lockdown. Beer is the most commonly consumed alcoholic beverage while working at home, according to the study. The COVID-19 threat changed most American lives dramatically, leaving some grappling with the new normal. Children do not have to be driven to school, and the morning commute is a thing of the past for a while. Less than the national average. While one in five Texans report drinking during work hours, it is lower than the national average of 32% of Americans reporting this behavior. Oklahomans report 41% of them are drinking while at home working. By state, employees most likely to report drinking during work hours on lockdown were in Hawaii, 67%, while Arkansans were least likely to be drinking on the job, 8%. During this emotional, traumatic time, many are turning to alcohol to alleviate stress or numb emotions, especially if they are at home with less work than usual, Alcohol.org said. As it becomes more complicated to venture into public places, about 22% of Americans admit stockpiling alcoholic beverages. Men are more likely than women to be stockpiling booze at 27% versus 15% of women. What everyone is drinking. Out of those drinking, The most commonly consumed beverage during isolation is beer, at 38% of drinkers preferring this drink, followed by cocktails, 26%, wine, 21%, and straight spirits, 15%. Men were most likely to report drinking beer, 44%, followed by wine, 22%, straight spirits, 22%, then cocktails, 11%. Women were more likely to be drinking cocktails during isolation, 38%, followed by beer, 33%, wine, 24%, and then straight spirits, 5%. While a drink or two, off the clock hopefully, is fine, Alcohol.org said if a person or member in their household is reaching for the bottle too often as a coping mechanism, it can be cause for concern. These are stressful times as many employees struggle with having to adapt to a home working environment in which distractions are abundant and alcohol may seem like a good solution. There are a number of accessible online resources if you suspect substance addiction, such as support helplines, chat rooms, and forums, said Dr. Lawrence Weinstein, Chief Medical Officer of American Addiction Centers. And here's another feature article from April 8th. Here's how you can win $200 by participating in the San Angelo Facebook Egg Hunt. A San Angelo social media management company is helping local restaurants get business by hosting a Facebook Easter egg hunt. The Color Brand is the creative bunch behind the hunt, which goes through 8 p.m. Easter Sunday. Once you complete the hunt, you are entered in a drawing for $200. Follow the Egg Hunt's event page to see who wins the prize. Here's how it works. 1. Visit at least 3 of 7 local food spots with its own unique egg. Signor Chang's at 502 North Van Buren Street, red egg. Crazy Fruit at 426 North Van Buren Street, orange egg. The Grind Brewing Cafe at 220 North Chadburn Street, lime egg. Nachos at 2502 West Loop 306, yellow egg. The Angry Cactus at 1 West Concho Avenue, green egg. PV Deli at 2561 Sunset Drive, Suite B, blue egg. Fernandez Restaurant at 817 North Chadburn Street, purple egg. 2. Place an order in drive-through takeout and collect a photo of their special colored egg. 3. You must be in the photo that you take to avoid shared photos. 4. You must submit your 3 egg photos to the Color Brand Facebook page through Messenger by 8 p.m. Sunday. You can share your pictures on Facebook, Instagram, and Instagram stories with the hashtag San Angelo Egg Hunt. Social distancing doesn't mean we shouldn't have some Easter fun, so get your friends and family in on the adventure and support great local food at the same time, the contest's Facebook post said. And related to the previous story, here is an article titled, How to Celebrate Easter Safely During COVID-19 in San Angelo, by Rosanna Aguilera. Although churches and venues are closed due to COVID-19, San Angelo is still celebrating Easter. Here are unique ways to celebrate the holiday safely Sunday, April 12th, 2020. The first item is the Easter egg hunt that we just read about. The second is listen to an egg hunt children's book. We're Going on an Egg Hunt by Lane Mitchell and Lewis Shea is available on YouTube. The Story Shark channel reads aloud the children's book of animals going on an egg hunt. You can also buy the book online at Amazon. Decorate Easter cookies. Buy a 6-piece cookie kit for $20 That includes blank cookies, icing, sprinkles, and instructions. You can also buy a 12-piece kit for $30, which includes the same items. All kits include free porch delivery and no prepayment. Payment will be through Venmo only to at Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, hyphen, De La Rosa. Email Kelly De La Rosa at kellytaylor88@yahoo.com to place your order. Go on an egg hunt. Since social distancing began in San Angelo, residents have placed stuffed bears in their windows so families could go on a bear hunt. Now people are replacing the bears with Easter eggs. Families can go on a stroll to see how many Easter eggs they can find. Church streaming services. Since churches aren't allowed to have traditional services in person, many are turning to online worship. Most are going live on Facebook Sunday morning. Others are posting services on their websites. Find your church on Facebook or Google to see how they are handling services. And after the previous article, I searched the Standard Times website, and there is an article that was published April 3rd relating to churches and what they're doing during the COVID-19 pandemic. Churches announce service changes, home worship options, by Matthew McDaniel. First Christian. First Christian Church Disciples of Christ, 29 North Oak Street, has partnered with KCSA FM Radio 97.1 to broadcast their drive-in worship service, which will be held in the parking lot off College Avenue at 11 a.m. Sunday. The Reverend T.J. Shoup York invites all to participate from the safety and comfort of their car's interior. Attendees are to remain in their cars at all times, listening on the radio. Worship leaders will be on stage outdoors for the service. The service will last approximately 45 minutes. First Christian also plans to live stream via Facebook, and the service will be available through www.kcsaradio.com as well. First United Methodist. Due to the coronavirus outbreak, all First United Methodist church activities are canceled. This Sunday, virtual worship through Facebook Live will stream at 8:30, 10:45, and 11 a.m. All are welcome to tune in through Pastor Scott Bradford's 8:30 and 10:45 a.m. services, and Pastor Brian's Rogers 11 a.m. personal Facebook page. The link will be shared on the First United Methodist Church Facebook page as well. If you are unable to tune in to Facebook Live, the 10:45 a.m. service is broadcast on KWFR FM 101.9. Miles United Methodist. Miles United Methodist Church will have a short service on KCSA 97.1 radio station starting at 10 a.m. Sunday, March 22nd, as Pastor Gary Karsner offers the word. On Sunday, April 12th, MUMC will have an Easter Sunday parking lot celebration beginning at 10:05 a.m. at 205 Broadway. All are invited to join from the comfort of their vehicles. There will be special music, a time of reflection and prayer, and Holy Communion. For more information, call 325-234-6387. Roman Catholic Diocese of San Angelo. Bishop Michael Siss will celebrate the Masses for Palm Sunday and Holy Week at the Cathedral of the Sacred Heart in San Angelo. These Masses are closed to the public, but will be streamed live on the Cathedral's Facebook page. Holy Saturday, Easter Vigil, 8:30 p.m. Easter Sunday, April 12th, Spanish Mass at 12 noon. anyone wishing to watch an English Mass on Easter Sunday can see Father Josh Gray at the Cathedral streaming an English Mass at that Facebook page at 10 a.m. or view the Latin Mass at 8 a.m. Recorded Sunday Masses with Bishop Sis will return after Easter, beginning with the Mass for Sunday, April 19th, 2020. St. Luke United Methodist. St. Luke United Methodist will be holding one service, which will be broadcast live on Facebook at 10 a.m. Sunday and then saved to the church's webpage for later viewing. Sierra Vista United Methodist. Sierra Vista will continue to have live church services at their regular worship times at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday and Sundays at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Check in on the website at www.sierravista.org and the Facebook page, and at 11 a.m. Sunday on the radio at 1260 a.m. KKSA. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4:32 p.m. on the website and Facebook, the pastors will have a live time of devotion. This is for Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, scripture verse, God is faithful, 4:32. There will be no meetings held at the church until further notice. This includes confirmation class and Monday, Thursday services. A live Good Friday service is slated for online at 7 p.m. The service will be Two Faces in the Shadow. Easter lilies will arrive this week, and someone will be in touch with pickup details. If anyone has needs or prayer concerns, please leave a message on the church phone at 944-4041 or email www.office@sierravista.org. Please continued prayers for those affected by the coronavirus. And the remainder of the articles in this broadcast from the San Angelo Standard Times are being read on Thursday, April 9th, with a few new articles that have been posted on their website. Man in 70s who tested positive for coronavirus has died at Shannon Hospital. Health officials have confirmed the area's first COVID-19 patient death. The City of San Angelo Health Department reported a man in his 70s with the coronavirus died early Thursday, April 9th at Shannon Medical Center. The man had several underlying medical conditions, a news release states. This is a tragic development, local health authority Dr. James Vretas said. The health department, in conjunction with our state and federal counterparts, is taking the necessary steps to slow down the spread of COVID-19. We need everyone to practice social distancing and good hygiene so we can emerge from this pandemic as strong as possible with the least number of deaths. Officials with the state of Texas, the city of San Angelo, Tom Green County, and the medical community have agreed that gatherings should be limited to only those within the same household. The number of people who have tested positive for COVID-19 in San Angelo jumped to 32 in the latest update from the city of San Angelo. As of 2 p.m. Thursday, April 9th, 823 coronavirus tests have been done in San Angelo. Of those, 32 are positive, 670 return negative, and 121 are pending. A young boy is listed among the latest cases as community spread, meaning he has no known contact with a COVID-19 patient and hasn't traveled to a location where the disease is so prevalent contracting it would be likely. San Angelo man starts grocery delivery service after COVID-19 shuts down his business, by Rosanna Aguilera. After COVID-19 shut down a San Angelo man's gym, he decided he would use his strength to deliver groceries to people. Matt Cutrer, the owner of Fitness United, found himself out of work March 16th when all non-essential businesses were ordered to be closed in San Angelo due to the coronavirus pandemic. I had no income coming in, so I started brainstorming what there was a market for, Cutler said. I have an entrepreneurial mindset, so I like to create things for myself. Cutler said he found out there was a 7-day wait to order groceries from HEB and decided that's how he can help. A few days later, Fit Dude Delivery was created. People interested can call him at 325-245-8828. That's 325-245-8828. Or message him on the page's Facebook. Shopping and delivery is typically between $12 and $15. Orders started picking up the past couple of days, Cutler said. 100% of the time, I can do it all on the same day. Customers send him their grocery list and address. Based on how far Cutler has to travel and how long he will have to shop for, he sends back an estimate of how much the total will be for his service. He will shop and deliver groceries while wearing a mask and gloves. As for his shopping skills, they're improving by the day. I am on a learning curve, he said. I am by no means an everyday shopper. My strategy is to ask them to be specific. If I can't get a hold of them, I pick the middle option of the most and least expensive. They are usually happy with what I pick. Cutler said he enjoys being able to help people in this time of need. I genuinely like helping people, which is why I got into fitness, he said. Being able to help an 86-year-old lady who can't leave her house when I am perfectly able to is great. San Angelo paramedics adjust to working around COVID-19 by Colin Murphy. As the effect of the coronavirus continues to be felt across Texas, medical professionals have been on the front lines from the beginning, putting their lives in harm's way and their safety on the line to protect the public. One group of medical professionals implementing enhanced safety measures in response to the coronavirus are paramedics working around the clock across the country. It's no different here, as paramedics with the San Angelo Fire Department have changed the way they work to keep themselves and patients as safe as possible. According to SAFD Assistant Chief of Operations Johnny Fisher, the department has been developing protocols for dealing with the coronavirus for nearly a month. The new protective measures involve preparations before a call, during initial treatment of a patient, and after the ambulance returns to a station. Because we didn't always wear N95s, Foster said, in the situation that we have now, everyone is wearing an N95 mask, safety glasses, and gloves. If we suspect a possible COVID case through dispatch, then we wear the Tyvek suits as well. We also, after every run, decontaminate the ambulance. As of Thursday, April 9th, Fisher said the department has been on several calls where a possible COVID-19 infection was suspected, and the new protocols were utilized. The department has also had to adjust to new recommendations from experts about how to best address the coronavirus pandemic. Every day it's changing, Fisher said. For a possible COVID run, the patient is going to wear a mask. It's evolving as we go. We've worked on about 10 suspected COVID patients, according to the criteria that we follow. To the best of my knowledge, no one that we have transported has come back confirmed. Fisher said the new safety measures have been evolving over the last few weeks, primarily according to guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control and local medical professionals. But despite a wealth of information from those and other sources, Fisher said dealing with coronavirus and keeping staff and patients safe remains a developing process. The CDC has been putting out a lot of information, Fisher said. Our medical director, Dr. James Vretis, has emailed information, and we've also learned a lot from what other departments and organizations are doing. There is no playbook for this. We are learning as we go. This is all new to everybody. we've been good about being proactive and getting these measures in place. The citizens are doing their part. Overall, I think we are doing a good job on self-monitoring, self-isolating, and trying to keep social distancing. Fisher did have a specific message for members of the public wondering who to call if they think they or someone else may be suffering from COVID-19 symptoms. If you are ill or sick, instead of calling an ambulance, it would be best for people to call their primary care doctor and get some guidance on if they should go to the ER, Fisher said. It would be a huge benefit for people to call ahead and not go by ambulance, and not just go to the emergency room unless it's a true emergency, because of the situation we are in. It would help everyone get through this, and maybe we can get back to normal life sooner than later. Thank you for joining us for the reading of the San Angelo Standard-Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.